Chapter 10. Legion of One. Maelstrom. True Name. Garrow led the way into the fallen basilica with Libertas held out before him, and Rubio followed close behind. His eyes narrowed as they picked out shadows among the broken stonework. Here and there, bottomless black pits fell away into the spaces below the massive building, where sublevels had collapsed into one another. Taking care with his footing, Garrow cast a look down at an electromagnetic device hanging from his belt and frowned. Readings from the Auspex are confused. The metals within the wreckage fog the sensors. Do you have anything, Rubio? The codicia heard his own voice, as if it were coming to him from a great distance away.
There are ghosts in this place. Be content you do not hear them.
The echoes of the dead were everywhere, thick as mist. What do they say?
What all ghosts say. They want revenge.
Garrow studied the other warrior for a moment, and Rubio could tell he was uncertain if the psyker was telling the truth or mocking him. Ultimately, he decided not to press the matter and turned away, spying something in the shadows. Rubio saw it too, a distinctly human silhouette amid the broken beams and cracked supports. He recognized the familiar shape of Maximus' patterned battle armor. Garrow approached the figure, sword raised. You, stand and face us.
It would be a horror if he did so, Rubio told him,
reaching out with his mind and finding nothing.
No spirit remains in that one. He is long dead.
You are regrettably correct, Garrow allowed, moving closer. What at first appeared to be a bowed head was in fact the ragged stub of a neck. He looked away, disgust colouring his expression.
This is no way for a legionary to be remembered, he added.
As Rubio's gaze cast around, searching in the damp corners of the chamber, Garrow examined the damaged armor.
Blast marks here. The gouges are from the edge of a power blade.
He paused, then brushed at the surface of the cracked ceramite. The livery. Beneath the dust, the colors and insignia are still visible. This warrior was a captain of the 16th Legion. The psyker stiffened, his preternatural abilities grasping something beyond Garrow's ability to sense.
The Legion of Horus Lupercal.
Rubio's words were suddenly drowned out as a caped abomination burst from beneath the rubble at his feet. Buried there, waiting for them, it now exploded into violence. The codicia barely had a moment to react before a snarling chain blade came roaring down on him. Blocking with his vambrace, ceramite armor meeting tungsten teeth with a flash of brilliant yellow sparks. He caught the briefest glimpse of a scowling, furious face before a renewed savage attack was unleashed upon him. The pommel of the chainsword slammed into his head, fracturing bone and shattering psionic crystal. He stumbled, fighting to regain his balance, but the assault was psychotic in its intensity. Dimly he was aware of Garrow coming to his aid, but his foe howled with laughter and tore an object from the depths of his tattered cloak.
"My tomb will be yours, traitor bastards!"
"Crack grenade!" Garrow's shout of warning sounded as the fist-sized device went bouncing and skittering away across the uneven floor. The cloaked warrior knocked Rubio down and left them behind, sprinting towards the tumble-down entrance. In a single, lightning-fast motion, Garrow captured the grenade where it had fallen and threw it with all his might into the black depths of the nearest sinkhole. Rubio heard it clatter its way into the collapsed underlevels.
"Run, damn you!"
bellowed the Death Guard, but in the next second, Rubio was deafened by a shuddering crash of detonation. All around, the fractured walls and drooping ceiling surrendered to gravity and came down upon them. After months of slow decrepitude, the basilica was finally destroyed. It collapsed in a last outburst of black dust and displaced air, falling into the abyss that cracked open beneath it. The earth swallowed the ruins, dragging them into the dark. Varan staggered backwards as a massive shock front of powdered rock and earth reached for him. He heard the panicked cries of Arcudi and the rest of the survivors, and ignored them, calling into his vox bead,
"Throne and blood! Garrow! Rubio! Do you hear me?"
There was no response, and he watched, his bolt gun in his hand, as the great flood of dust rolled in and engulfed the survivor camp where he stood guard.
"All of you, get down!"
he snarled the order at the cowering refugees.
"Cover your faces and do not move."
"I warned them," said Arcudi.
"The beast comes." "Be silent, old man."
Varen bit down on a flash of annoyance at the old soldier's morose pronouncement and checked his bolter's magazine.
Stay down.
He heard the flutter of a torn cape, and so did Arcudi.
What was that? In the dust cloud.
I said, be silent.
Grim-faced, Varen drew up his bolter to his shoulder and aimed into the haze, searching for the one errant motion that would give him a target. All else was forgotten. The fate of his battle brothers was not his concern. All he sought now was the enemy he knew was coming. A voice muttered out in the dust,
"Traitors are paid only in steel, and you will pay for defying the Emperor."
Before he could react, something moved, a form like a leaping wolf or a raptor given wing. Varen glimpsed the dull glitter of a chainsword looming, and he opened fire. The legionary saw his enemy come running.
"The beast!"
howled Arcudi, as the armored figure came charging in with a roar. The two warriors collided with a clash of weapons.
"You are dead!"
the attacker screamed wildly.
"You are all dead!"
Even as every instinct in him called out for him to meet this foe in rage and battle, Varen tried to halt the tirade before it went too far.
"Stop!"
he bellowed.
"You cannot fight!"
"In the Emperor's name, I will destroy you!"
The words were ignored, and pain lanced through him. In the training pits of the World Eater's Legion, Varen had battled warriors of every stripe, from those pure of body and mind to those driven to the edge of madness with lobotomaic taps and neural implants. But still he was staggered by the sheer venom with which this new enemy attacked. Every legionary, no matter what his parent legion might be, no matter what Primarch he called his sire, fought to live and win. This beast did no such thing. He fought like a madman, with no thought to survival. Everything about him was pure fury. He fought as if he craved the embrace of death itself, but in his eyes, there was something lost.
"Damn you!"
Varen bit down on another shudder of agony.
"Too late for that,"
came the reply. He was pulled off his feet and slammed against a broken stone pillar. His bolter left his grip, and Varen slumped, half dazed from the force of the blow. He turned, bringing up his guard to defend against any killing strike, but his foe had left him behind.
"This will do."
He blinked through the pain and saw the ragged warrior gather up his bolt gun and work the slide. Then he marched slowly towards Arcudi and the survivors, who quaked in fear at the sight of the cloaked figure, the bolter's wide muzzle turning in their direction. Varen dragged himself back to his feet.
"What are you doing? They are civilians!"
No glimmer of remorse crossed the warrior's scarred face as he opened fire on the unarmed people.
"I am Cerberus," he declared, "the gatekeeper of hell. I am justice."
"Not in this world," came a shout. Varen lurched around and saw Garrow and Rubio emerge from the haze. Wounded, but still very much alive, the other knights errant had dug themselves out of the rubble and returned to the fray. Rubio threw out his hands in a gesture of power. The Psyker tapped into the quickening at the heart of his warp-touched soul and turned it to lightning. With a sweep of his arm, an arc of crackling blue-white power blasted across the debris-strewn ground and tore it open. The ragged warrior, this so-called Cerberus, cried out in pain and tumbled over the edge of a new abyss into black oblivion. All around, the earth shook and caved in, howling and grinding before finally settling once more. By degrees, the dust fell, coating everything in a thick layer of grit and ashes. His injuries sending brutal jags of pain through him with every step, Varen limped to the edge of the cave-in. In passing, he saw the survivors tending to their wounded. There were precious few of them. Almost all of Cerberus's shots had blasted their targets into smears of blood and meat. Varen spat blood into the new crater and glared down into it. He saw only shadows.
"Is he dead?"
Garrow approached, his armor caked in the same dark ashes.
"No, there would be a body."
Varen turned away, looking the other legionaries up and down.
"I might have said the same about you. The ruins fell, and I thought that was an end to you." "We were trapped for a moment," said Rubio, "but my gifts made escape possible."
"It will take more than the collapse of a building to kill a legionary," said Garrow. "What happened here?"
"Rubio's smiting blast struck true, but the stone beneath the foe's feet gave way. This entire city is nothing but layers of rubble and ruins, one atop the other."
Varen cast a look towards Arcudi and the remains of his party. He knew full well that Cerberus would have ended them all had Rubio not intervened. He glanced at Garrow and fixed him with a steady gaze.
That was no beast, Battle Captain.
Varen had expected to face some kind of warp-spawned monster, but not what could only be a gene-forged warrior-born.
That was one of us.
Aye, it must be so.
The Psyker's expression soured.
He called us traitors. I saw only a glimpse down there.
His gaze swept up to meet Garrow's.
Tell us the truth. Is this enemy what I think it is?
Garrow's expression hardened. The burden of the question appeared to age him.
Yes, I see now that he is too far gone. He has been consumed by madness. What happened here has broken his mind.
He looked away.
He must be killed.
What?
Varen felt a strange jolt of emotion.
Was that empathy?
Despite the killer's crazed assault, the World Eater could not help feeling some strange kind of kinship with Cerberus.
We are alike, he thought. I could be him, had circumstances played out another way.
Rubio nodded sadly.
We all saw what he did. He ignored us in favor of attacking defenseless civilians, old men, women and children.
You did not look in his eyes, Psyker,
spat Farron.
You did not see what I did. Torment and blackness. Can your witch side divine that?
He struggled to articulate himself.
My words before. I was wrong. He is a beast. A man become an animal. But he is still one of us. He is not a traitor.
I could not touch his mind, admitted the Psyker. The turmoil there is too strong. Like a great maelstrom.
Varen reached out and grabbed the battle captain's arm, his craggy face lit with purpose.
Garrow, heed me. We have lost so many brothers to this schism, this damned bloody war. A traitor I will kill without hesitation, but we do not speak of a traitor. Our kinsman is lost. You must...
What I must do,
Garrow snarled the words back at him, for a moment furious at the legionary's demands. Then the heat faded, and the weight of the words seemed to settle on him.
What I must do is make the choice. It is my duty and mine alone, Varen. If I give an order, then so shall it be. Do you understand?
It took the World Eater a long time to reply.
I understand,
he lied. The dawn came slowly, the weak glow of a distant sun casting only the most ghostly light upon the destroyed city. The dust and the clouds robbed everything of shade, rendering all things in grey. The only patches of colour came from the spills of blood around the bodies of the dead and the wounded. While Garrow and Varen stood watch, Rubio walked among the survivors, the coppery scent of their blood strong in his nostrils. He found Arcudi dressing an injury on his arm with a length of dirty cloth, surrounded by the weary remnants of his band.
I can spare you a Medicaid pack, Deck Captain. There are bandages and...
No,
Arcudi replied, almost too quickly.
No need, Legionary. It is nothing. A scratch at best. Of no concern.
As you wish. Perhaps one of the others, then. I see there are some in your group with greater wants.
The soldier shook his head.
Your offer is well taken, but I must refuse. Please understand. It is our way.
To bleed?
The Psyker gave the old man a hard look. He sensed what could be the gossamer touch of a lie in Arcudi's thoughts, but he could not be certain of it. When the soldier did not reply, Rubio relented and walked away.
Perhaps I should not be surprised, he thought. It was legionaries who brought this destruction down on them, a legionary who stalked and murdered their number. Why should they wish to trust us?
Still, he could not shake a steady sense of disquiet. He came across a line of corpses arranged in a row, all of them wrapped in makeshift death shrouds. Compelled by an impulse he could not express, a half-formed suspicion that welled up in his chest, Rubio knelt by the closest of them. With care, the Psyker took the arm of a dead woman and opened her sleeve, letting his preternatural senses guide him. His gaze traced the length of the pallid limb and found something strange. There were contusions and scarring, as he expected, but the corpse flesh showed something more. lesions of a kind Rubio had never seen. He was no apothecary, but he had seen radiation burns and cancerous growths before. The flesh marks resembled those kind of injuries, but it was the pattern that struck him as odd. Whatever afflicted the dead woman manifested in triangular threefold clusters, almost like a deliberate mark. Rubio examined another body, and then a third. Each showed the same strange infection, each time hidden away from plain sight. "What are you doing?" He looked up as Garrow approached, a searching look on the battle captain's face. "Why do you disturb their dead?" The psyker showed him the marks.
"Have you ever seen the like, Garrow?"
Even as he asked the question, Rubio saw the answer to it in the other warrior's expression. Disgust, anger, hatred. All these emotions swept across Garrow's face in an instant. Behind him, Arcudi and the other survivors had stopped and turned to watch the legionaries.
"I have seen such a mark before," said Garrow, with cold ferocity, "and it is the herald of horror and ruination."
In the depths of the warp, aboard the frigate Eisenstein, Nathaniel Garrow and his battle brothers had fought beings touched by the same threefold sign. They were the dead, traitors from the Death Guard Legion, bodies reanimated to new and pestilent life by some dark power from the Immaterium. Those undying creatures were animated by disease and raw hate, driven by corruption, and now that same power swarmed here in the ruins, hiding in plain sight.
"You were not meant to lay your eyes upon the mark."
Arcudi's voice was solemn and full of regret.
"Now you too must meet the blessing of the grandfather."
The old soldier looked Garrow in the eyes and smiled.
"He has been waiting for you, Nathaniel."
Then, as one, the survivors threw back their heads and screamed. It was the same mournful howl as the blighted winds that scoured the surface of the planet. Arcudi's skin sloughed from his face, a papery mask of decaying flesh crumbling into fragments in the blink of an eye. All around, his cohorts transformed too, any pretense at humanity falling from them in shed rags of flesh. Pallor burst across their faces, torrents of triad scabs bursting into livid, pus-wet blushes. They shed their disguise, revealing themselves to truth. Whatever dark potential had kept them balanced on the edge of life now withdrew, and in turn accelerated them into decay. What a moment ago had seemed human became stumbling, moaning carcasses. At their sides, the cold-skinned corpses twitched and rose to their feet, torn and bloodied flesh hanging off them, limbs ruined by bolt fire. Varan came running, his weapon at his side. He was aghast at the sight before him.
"That sound!"
"A call to their kindred," said Garrow, drawing his weapons.
"We are betrayed, brothers! Curse me for a fool!" "Combat wheel formation!"
Rubio sprang back, closing the gap with his comrades.
"They surround us!"
Swords drawn, bolt guns raised, the three legionaries drew together as the undead shambled forwards, gathering around them. Garrow raised Libertas.
"Destroy these abominations in the Emperor's name!"
The creatures rushed forwards, into the flash of gunfire and the shriek of swords as the legionaries dispatched them. They fell like wheat before a scythe, and Rubio let out a harsh bark of laughter.
"These few, they are no match for us."
In answer to him, a new chorus of wraith-like howling sounded out of the ruined cityscape, and the rasping of decayed limbs on cracked stone grew louder and louder. Hundreds of the horrors stumbled brokenly out of blackened doorways and caved-in passages.
"You spoke too soon, Psyker," Varan grated. "There's a lot more than a few. We are the countless dead."
The thing that had been Arcudi wavered before them, pressed forwards by the mass of its corpse fellows.
"Join us."
From every shadowed corner they came, digging themselves from the rubble, rushing from the ruins, emerging from every shallow grave. A horde of the undying fell on them in a howling tide, overwhelming the legionaries by their sheer force of numbers.
"Never!"
Garrow shouted his denial back at the creature, and Libertas sang in the air once more. The sword rose and fell as he took the heads from the necks of the corpse things, but for each plague-ridden victim he dispatched, three more arose to take its place. The press of dead flesh was forcing them back, cutting off all lines of escape. Rubio called upon his powers to cast bolts of snarling energy into the mass of them, but he could not hold back the flood.
They just keep coming. Must we face every victim taken by the virus bombs?
Snarled Varen, his own weapons a blur of steel and fire.
How can they die and yet live?
Cerberus, said Garrow. He must have known what they were all along. A thunder of shots blasted apart more of the pestilent monstrosities.
Stay close, brothers. If we perish here, then we will perish together.
But then a new voice joined the chorus of madness. Like the summons of some mythic creature, the mention of his name had brought Cerberus to the fray.
I see you,
came the distant cry.
I come for you.
The ragged warrior was suddenly there, a whirlwind of blades, taking heads and ripping open torsos. The undying monstrosities were torn apart, limbs rendered, skin carved by the spinning razor-sharp teeth of the chainsword. The legionary in his ruined armor was a black phantom, and he fought like the spirit of vengeance itself, never tiring, never faltering, ignoring every clawed slash and clubbing blow upon his war gear, his blood flowing freely from countless wounds. And still he battled on, killing the dead, returning the pox-riddled flesh puppets to the bombed-out tombs they had crawled from. In his eyes, there was only the pathological, perfect focus of the true madman. In this deadly melee, Garrow would take whatever reinforcements would offer themselves.
The numbers thin, do not falter, he called out to the others. We must survive. Our duty must be done.
Finish them.
Rubio barely got the words out before a mob of undead dragged him off his feet and to the ground. The Psyker stumbled under a surge of corrupted bodies, and they slammed him to the ground. He vanished under a mass of snarling undead, their taloned fingers raking at his armor. But only for a moment. A wash of telekinetic energy turned the creatures into new drifts of ashy powder, and Varen strode in to bring his comrade to his feet, slashing with his power sword to behead any foes that still moved.
In Terra's name, tell me there are no more of these rotting freaks.
Rising, Rubio shook his head.
The fight's not done yet.
Varen turned to see Garrow stride towards Cerberus as the maddened legionary fought his way through the last mass of the undying. The chainsword fell, trailing a rope of old, spoiled blood through the air, and the ruins fell silent again, save for the endless winds. All about him lay a mass grave of decapitated corpses, bodies in varying states of pestilent decay heaped atop one another. Panting, the warrior who called himself Cerberus looked up, his kill fury high and ready, and found a legionary in grey, unadorned battle armor advancing to him.
Enough, said Garrow. The deed is done. The enemy dispatched.
The words were enough to stoke the ragged warrior's rage still higher.
You dare command me, traitor swine! I'll salt the earth with your blood!
Garrow let the tip of his blade drop and returned his spent bolter to the magplate holster on his back.
Lower your sword, he said carefully. Don't force me to make the choice. Do not make me fight you.
Never!
Cerberus screamed his denial to the sky.
I will never stop. I am the last loyal son. I will end all Horus sends to test me.
This is your last chance.
Varen's earlier words echoed in Garrow's thoughts. The World Eaters demands that they try to end Cerberus's rampage without further bloodshed.
Too many brothers lost. Too many.
Refuse and you will die.
Do your worst.
He attacked. And, if anything, the fury Cerberus had displayed moments before was now revealed as only the spark of the flame burning inside him. As their swords met, clashed, and met again, Garrow saw this lost soul for what he truly was. Through a hurricane of blows, sparks leaping as metal ground on metal, he glimpsed fragments of the man behind the madness. Garrow was tested with every attack and riposte. He knew in an instant that this was one of the most lethal foes he had ever faced in the arena of blades. Every strike parried, every lunge met in kind. Warrior to warrior, they fought and fought. Time stretched until there was only the moment, and the fight caught within it. They struggled back and forth, seeking tiny nicks and cuts, but never finding the defining blow. Each was the equal of the other. They battled on in search of the single fractional instant of inattention that would mean a death strike. Sword hilts locked, and suddenly they were struggling against their coiled, enhanced muscles.
"I know what you are," hissed Cerberus. "Traitor! Liar!"
"I know what you are," Garrow shot back. "Like me, a legionary. The man the Sigilite sent me to find."
"Deceiver! I am Cerberus, the wolfhound at the gates of hell. I am death denied."
Spittle flew from his mouth with every murderous shout, and his eyes were black pits of despair. "Your mind is clouded, brother." Garrow put every iota of his strength into holding the swords in lock. "Help me! Break through the veil of madness!" He met those dark eyes with an unflinching gaze. "Remember who you are!"
"I am Cerberus!"
Striking out with all his might, the warrior batted Garrow away with a brutal blow and staggered backwards, opening up the distance between them. He pointed his sword to where Varan and Rubio stood poised to join the fray.
"Bring your bastard brothers in if you dare. I'll finish you all."
Garrow shook off the flashes of pain in his head and held up his hand before the other legionaries could make their approach. "This matter will be put to rest between us."
"You die first, then,"
snarled his opponent.
"They will follow you in short order."
Desperation tore at him.
"Listen to me,"
Garrow drew himself up.
"Cerberus is a myth. It is the name of a legend, a story, nothing more. It is not your name. It is not who you are."
Finally, in the instant between heartbeats, he saw doubt flicker in those depthless, crazed eyes. There was a moment of hesitation, and Garrow seized upon it. If he failed now, then death would be the only conclusion.
"I am Nathaniel Garrow, knight-errant of Malkador the Sigilite."
He drew his sword to him, as if he were at a ceremony of arms.
"I am a loyal servant of the Emperor of Man. And you?"
The ragged warrior froze where he stood, and he seemed to falter beneath an invisible force. The gravity of his existence was crumbling as Garrow watched. Whatever shell of madness that had hardened around him was cracking open. The trauma that smothered this brother in battle was finally loosening its grip on his war-damaged sanity.
"Who am I?"
he whispered, sorrow and fear beneath the words. He looked down at his hands, as if seeing them for the first time, then cast around at the sight of the ruins surrounding them.
"What is this place?"
Garrow gave voice to the name, to the last of the secrets he had been carrying since the moment Malkador had given him his list of recruits to recover. He spoke the words that would make this final one the last of the knight's errant.
"Your name is Garviel Loken. This world is Istvan III, where your Primarch Horus Lupercal and your battle brothers betrayed you and left you to perish."
"No."
He shook his head, denying it. Garrow nodded sadly.
"Yes, brother. You know this truth. You have not forgotten."
The scream that left his lips was a howl of pure pain, the sound of a man's soul being sundered, the thunder of betrayal's knife cutting deep into his hearts. He flew at Garrow in a mad rage, his cloak snapping around him.
"I have no brothers. Only traitors remain. I am a legion of one, and I will kill you all until death comes to claim me."
Garrow opened his hand and released the hilt of Libertas, letting the power sword fall free from his fingers and clatter to the dead earth.
"Then do so,"
he said, tipping back his head and showing his bare throat. The scarred warrior raised his chainsword, the roaring blade hesitating at the apex of the motion.
"I cannot best you," Garrow admitted, "so I offer no defense. Only a choice. The same that faced me when I came to this world. If you kill me, you murder a kinsman, an ally. That single act will make you the traitor. You know this."
He held the other warrior's gaze.
"Brother, join us, and prove that you are still loyal to the Emperor." "The Emperor?"
He grasped at the words, anxious to understand them.
"The Emperor protects," said Garrow,
fully knowing that his death or life now rested in the hands of a broken, damaged spirit.
"But I have faith,"
he told himself. The chainsword's spinning teeth clattered to a halt, and the weapon fell.
Yes, said Loken. He does.
Where blades had failed, words and deeds brought victory. Garrow reflected on this truth and felt a new certainty course through him. Even the deepest pits of madness could not blight the allegiance and fidelity of a true legionary. And if that were so, then there was still hope in the darkest reaches of the insurrection. Now the last of the lost sons had been found, and Malkador's mission was complete. Garrow allowed himself to wonder what would come next. Before, with the names of those yet to be found at the fore of his thoughts and deeds, it had been a simple matter for Garrow to put aside the questions that dogged him through his duty. The questions that Rogel Dorn's words had thrown into harsh relief. The questions he had silenced in himself aboard the Daggerline, and later in the aftermath of Voyen's revelations. He could not silence them any longer. Varen's heavy footfalls crunched over the rubble, and Garrow looked to him. He jerked a thumb at the dropship across the way, waiting in the ruins of a tumble-down plaza.
The Stormbird is ready to depart.
The vessel's thrusters were already idling, and Rubio was climbing aboard. The Psyker did not look back, and Garrow could not blame him. He could not imagine what horrors one gifted with warp sight would see in this place of desolation and misery. He nodded.
Aye. I'll bring him.
Garrow turned to seek out his new charge, but Varen held out a hand to stop him.
He could have cut you down where you stood, said the World-Eater. You took a great risk to save him from himself.
I had no choice. You were right. We have lost enough of our brethren to this war. As Garrow walked away, Varen called out to him.
It isn't over yet, Nathaniel.
Loken, time to go. He found the Lunar Wolf standing at the lip of another sinkhole, staring down into the fathomless abyss, and for a moment Garrow was afraid the younger warrior might be considering an end by his own hand.
Where?
He asked at length. To Terra, he told him, and the future. Loken looked away, finding Garrow.
Why did you come for me? I was dead, forgotten. Why bring me back?
Your duty is not ended, my friend, he said.
In truth, it has been renewed and transformed for all of us.
I know only the edges of what the scheme will be, but I trust in it. Garrow hesitated. The words seemed hollow. Was he trying to convince his kinsman or himself? He pressed on.
You are the last, Loken. The final recruit the Sigilite bade me seek out. For what purpose?
I do not know. He almost said the words aloud, and it took a near physical effort to hold them back. Finally, he went to the truth, as he always did, to guide him.
The answer to that we will learn together, brother.
He offered his hand in the old gesture of friendship and fealty.
The true trial begins for us this day. No, Garrow, said Loken. The truth is, it has never ended.